A generation after a global nuclear war, Ryan Cotter and his intrepid team of travelers discover that Louisiana is now a fetid, sullen landscape of impenetrable swamps and grotesque mutations. In this reeking swampland that was the Mississippi Basin stands Baron Tormand's voodoo temple, where human sacrifice is practiced. Girls are slaughtered, children are defiled, the dead are made to live, and the living are made to die.
I sense that strangers come, Baron Tourmont. They are not as we are. Not Cajuns. Not your men or women. Not the Wolf's Head renegades. They have come from nowhere.
And the signs are bad?
As bad as can be. They come! They come!
Deathlands number 3. Neutron Solstice.
Nuke blast. We killed them. How the hell are they getting back up?
Finn, look out!
By the three Kennedys.
I want the strangers dead. Track them and take them. That's all. But bring me the women alive.
No!
I have the earth power. I swear by Gaia that if you harm her, I'll kill you.
You dare to threaten me? You're big for death when I'm through with you.
You'll need everything you got to go up against him.
Also have some kind of jelly gas. That help?
What is that stuff?
By the three Kennedys. That, gentlemen, is napalm.
Jeez.
Don't miss Deathlands number 3, Neutron Solstice. The battle for the bayou has begun.
Press the on button on the vid there. JB hit the starter and the screen lightened, revealing a jagged pattern of gray and white. Ryan had already noticed that there was a cassette sitting in the vid machine. He leaned forward and pressed the button to set it in motion.
You don't think there's... Whoa.
Testing 5 and 4 and 3. Yeah, sounds coming through real good. Let me cut off that CD. Crap, where's the picture?
It had all been jagged dashes and dots, and then suddenly something appeared on the screen. A great blurred outline, like a football. It vanished, and then they saw the head and shoulders of a man who sat in the same chair where Ryan now sat. He looked to be around 50 years of age, with thinning black hair and a small, neat mustache. He had plump, well-shaved cheeks and immaculate teeth. Teeth so good, they couldn't possibly have been genuine. He wore a bright shirt decorated with garish bananas and pineapples. On his right hand was a ruby fraternity ring, and on his left wrist, a platinum Rolex watch. There was a sheepish grin on his face, and he seemed a little embarrassed at his own presentation.
Hi there to the future. My name's Donald Haggard, and I'm an optometrist here in West Lowellton, part of the great city of Lafayette in the great state of Louisiana. I don't rightly know why I'm telling you this, because I guess you'll know all that. I've just broken off from Christmas brunch to tell you a little about... I guess I damn near forgot to tell you the date, too. It's December 25th in the year 2000. Wanted to make this video as a kind of record, I guess, of what's going on here right now.
While Ryan and JB sat there, spellbound by this message from a dead man, Don Haggard went on to outline the political situation. The tensions between East and West, the problems in Libya, in South Africa, in the Philippines, in Cuba, in the northern cities of Great Britain, and in Israel.
Seemed like the whole world was just waiting for someone to push the first button. Anyway, like I said, it's Christmas, everybody's here. My wife, Peggy, she works locally in telephone sales. My boys are all here too, Johnny, Dwight, and Merle. And I guess you know from now what kind of music I'm into.
The picture wobbled, and the gears of the vid machine grated and whined as if they were about to give up. Ryan leaned in the chair and pressed the fast forward button, letting it go ahead for several seconds.
We don't have time to watch all this, JB. Maybe take it with us.
Wait, stop it here, stop it here!
Don was back, looking rather less cool and in control than he had on Christmas Day.
things don't... Oh, sorry. Start with the date. It's January 15th, 2001. Yeah. Government tells us not to worry. Motherfuckers, not to worry. They don't live out in the open. They got their bunkers and hideouts. Me and Peggy will be fine, but what about my boys? Where do they go? They can't come in here. I built for two. Oh, Jesus, on a fucking cross. What a mess.
Can't have been a big magnetic pulse in the skies around here. Would have cut off all the electrics.
Haggard rambled on a while longer, cursing the politicians, both Russian and American, for letting things slide to the brink of war. Ryan ran the tape farther forward, watching the dancing picture and halting it when there was an obvious change of time. Don looked terrible. His shirt was stained and dirty, and he was pale and unshaven. His eyes were sunken, and he had obviously been weeping.
January 24th. It's late morning, I think. My watch stopped. I guess it's around 10:30. Peggy's a little worse, I guess. Crying and throwing up. But I'm real fine, folks. Whoever you are. I felt the bangs again a day back. Last night, maybe. I'm not sure. But I'm real fine. And so's Peggy, actually. Forget about the throwing up and crying. I mean, she's just a mite sickly. You could probably see my hands shaking some. I should have stocked up on liquor. Never thought about that when I built this place. Saved our lives, I guess. I can't tell for sure. I haven't been up top. Won't be going yet.
Ryan pushed the fast-forward control again. JB walked across the room and removed a knife from a neat mounting on the wall. He held it up, showing Ryan the five holes in the hilt and the distinctive double sawing edge.
Techna. Surgical steel with a high chrome content. Haven't seen one in years. I'll take it.
JB sheathed it and hooked it on his belt. Ryan stopped the vid again when the man's head vanished in a blur of visual static. He glanced at his cron, seeing they still had a little time. To watch this film was even more amazing than being in a vid house or a Holiday Inn. Seeing this vid was to witness the beginning of the long winters as it was happening. The neutron bombs had fallen, infecting everyone with a lethal burst of nuke energy.
25th January. Air filter doesn't fucking work properly against what the Reds dosed us with. I can feel it rotting my fucking bones. Peggy's worse. I'm going up top to see one time. If anyone ever sees this, you'll know what it's like.
The camera showed the walls of the tunnel and angled shots of the ladder as Haggard carried it up. Then there was a break, presumably while he cautiously opened the latch and peered out. The next shot was in his garden.
Lots of smoke all around. Looks like there's houses on fire towards Lafayette. Our house is standing good.
There was wobbling and jerking as Haggard carried the camera with him, shooting as he went. The film showed a murky scene, poorly lit on account of the smoke drifting by. At first, it didn't seem the Holocaust that Ryan and JB knew it to have been. But that soon changed.
Oh, shit. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. That's my neighbor Jack. I think, yeah. I said, oh, sure. Is that... That's... Oh, shit. That's Dwight. I didn't even know he was out here. He must have driven his... Sorry. I'm sorry. I keep on moving. I keep shooting. God. God have mercy.
The land was a massive charnel house. A land that was filled only with the dead and the dying. A high wind whipped clouds across the sky, which seemed to be a dark purple, like bruised flesh. Wherever the lens probed, there was death. Young and old, frail and hale, all felled by the same single swipe of the nuclear scythe. The nuking had been cunning and selective, hitting only those that breathed, sparing all the buildings.
Tom and Dave and his kid, Beulah and her grand. Little Melanie and her folks. dead high.
Dead and dying. On porches and in the road. One body hung out of a burned car, the head, arms, and upper torso untouched by the flames. The lower torso and the legs were charred and blackened. The mouth was open, and a soundless scream of ultimate agony. Dogs crawled along the sidewalk, snapping at their own hind paws. Eyes rolling, tongues hanging from their jaws. A wheelchair was caught by the vid camera, tipped on one side, wheels slowly rotating in the wind. Its occupant vanished. The camera swung wildly through 180 degrees, pointing at the ground, its shots very jerky and fast.
He's heading back here. Had enough. Poor fucker can't take any more of what happened to his neighborhood.
The picture went blank, and JB moved toward the television, thinking it was over. But it wasn't. Not quite. A face swam into approximate focus. The face of a dying man, still recognizable as Don Haggard, but drawn and yellow and thin. Dark seams furrowed his face from his nose to the corners of his mouth, and the eyes were veiled with a dreadful fatigue. He wore a plaid shirt that was moist with vomit and what looked like drying blood.
Donald Haggard here, West Lowell. I don't know the date no more. It's been 6 days since Peg passed away. Poor old dear been sleeping more and more, and finally she just stopped sleeping. I thought she was still asleep. I got the sickness. I've been shitting so much I can't keep myself clean no more. I lost all my dignity. I puked blood today. Can't be soon before I join Peg and Dwight. And I guess our other boys are long dead, too. I hope they died quicker and easier than folks around here. Oh, conceived in fucking liberty. We can't hallow or consecrate this ground. Last full measure of devotion. It shall not perish from the earth. Oh, no, no.
Shit. Turn it off, JB.
Oh, shit. I heard knocking a while back, but I couldn't. I wouldn't have. I'm not going out there again.
The man staggered to his feet, swaying to and fro, pointing a finger at the camera.
Oh, say, can you see? By the dawn's